was just kidding. All right. We are back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. All seven, the podcast in full effect. All right. The following contains content not suitable for the youth under the age of 17 without adult supervision. So if this is not a good time to listen with the kids in the car or in the house or wherever you may be, please turn this off and listen to it at a better time. We'll give you a few seconds. Welcome to Aisle 7. My name is Savage. This is my beautiful wife,
Liti.
We're in the Cove right now, our home base of operations. And this is Beach Talk for the long walk.
Mm-hmm.
Episode 7, Season 2.
Let's go, Savage.
Full effect. We're back to Savages. Woo! I do want to mention, November's coming up, and it's the election season.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't believe in voting, hey, totally fine. I understand. But we, as immigrated people here, have a right to exercise our voting rights. And, you know, I know it's this party, this side, that side. But right now in the state of our nation, I think it's really important that we basically pick a side. So vote, man. It might just be the thing that changes the way our nation's going. How do you feel about that?
Yeah. You know, do you? I know we can't change anything of what things can happen, but it's very important who's in the house. And, you know, don't be complaining when things are not going your way because of that. I know I myself don't like to vote because, you know, you got to do a lot more research than just what it is. But it's very important because the numbers count. You know what I mean? So
they definitely do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man. Just take some time, do your research in it. Look into all the candidates and leaders and see what best fits you and suits you as a voter. So
yeah.
From us, Aisle 7, the Savages, to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Just vote, man. We here would like to thank Anchor for the free distribution of our podcast. We do not take that lightly. Go ahead and download the Anchor app and look us up at Aisle 7, the podcast. At the end of the day, it's all about self-progress.
Yes.
Whew. Today's episode is dedicated to those who came before us. And if you have anyone in mind or in your heart, we also share this episode in dedication to you and yours. I think with the way things are going during this pandemic,
And
in light of situations from child trafficking to more racial injustice, just the state of the nation, I just have people in my heart that I love, and I just want them to be okay, and I want them to know I care and love them. I love each and every one of you guys, and I hope you guys are okay in the world. We're praying peace and healing over everybody at this time.
Yeah.
So yeah, this episode is dedicated to those who came before us,
mm-hmm.
and you and yours in mind.
Yeah.
What do you have to say about that?
Yeah, people who's before us, who paved the way for us. It's very important that we, every now and then, we recognize them as we live on our lives. Because, you know, it could be just what they did back in the days. It's what's happening today, you know. So it's always good to reminisce and think about those days of how our grandma, grandparents, you know, that along the way, that paved those ways for us. Yeah.
Today's song of the day, Snoop Dogg featuring Tyrese, Just a Baby Boy. Snoop Dogg featuring Tyrese, Just a Baby Boy, released in 2001. I was heavily influenced growing up in California by West Coast music. Been back everywhere from the Bay to LA in between. Shout out to San Diego as well. You know, so I'm going to go ahead and play this and tell me what you feel. Hopefully you reminisce a good memory or two. Dude, did you ever hear this?
Yeah.
I know sometimes it might seem crazy, but I'll always be here for you, lady. I'm just trying to change the game.
Tongues!
Fill in the tank, let me roll the thing. Young, dumb, reppin' T.
Little crazy ass nigga.
Where you from? Alright. West side? All right, shout out to the whole West Coast division in our music, man. Always representing. So, Snoop Dogg featuring Tyrese, Just a Baby Boy, released in 2001. Tag us to a video of you vibing to that on your IG story at @Aisle_7_thepodcast. Show us what you got. Today's number of the day, 12. 12. Wherever you are when you come across the number, dwell in the moment and get something of a revelation in that time. Our color of the day, would you like to read that?
Yes, it's pink.
Pink. If you see it, say it. Pink. The bag is pink.
Pink.
Our person of the day, leader, activist, inspirational person. You know, I can't say enough about this guy. I definitely look up to this guy, and, you know, shout out to Mr. Nelson Mandela. Nelson Mandela. Mm-hmm. I saw this thing. Will Smith had shared a story about feeling unworthy of being in his presence because it's somebody he looked up to and stuff. So, you know, we've come across people like that in our lives. Yeah. I know I feel that way sometimes about our mentors.
Yep, I do.
So, yeah, Nelson Mandela, go ahead and do your research and your studies on him and tell us what you get. Our quote of the day, would you like to read that?
Quote of the day. Our children may learn about the heroes of the past. Wow. Our task is to make ourselves architects of the future.
Beautiful. Such a beautiful
man, that's quote. So powerful. You know, you just said something about the paving the way, you know?
Yeah.
And it's true. Us. Yeah. And those before us.
Once again, that was our children may learn about the heroes of the past.
Yeah.
Our task is to make ourselves architects of the future.
Powerful.
That comes by way of Mr. Jomo Kenyatta. Jomo Kenyatta. Or maybe that's a woman. I'm not sure. Jomo Kenyatta. So, man or woman, that was a beautiful quote. Thank you for that. Our goal of the week, which I'm probably going to have to do after this because I'm heating up right now. God, man. Take a cold shower in the morning. Take a cold shower in the morning. It shocks the system, gets you warmed up, the engine running. It's just a great way to start your day off. So take a cold shower in the morning. That's our goal of the week.
Yeah.
Our congratulations. We would like to share congratulations with Luciane Buchanan and the Pacifica cast of the Netflix original series, The New Legends of the Monkey King Season 2. Check they just came out. Back with Season 2.
Yeah.
And we just found out, shout out to our brother down at the Tough Block Podcast, Monix, for putting us up on game, that this is an all Pacifica cast for the series, The New Legends of Monkey King Season 2. Led by also Luciana Buchanan, a beautiful female, half Tongan. I believe.
Yeah.
Half Balangi, half Kasi, Lee, man. So check that out. Yes,
check it out. It's pretty cool. Yeah,
thank you guys for representing us, man. It's, representation is everything at this point in time right now. So our workout tip, stretch and warm up. Stretch and warm up. Today's PI scene is going to be a great one. I like this one because it's very inspirational and it touches my heart because when you have something that you start from nothing, it means that much more when you begin to progress and reach new levels and new heights. So today's PI scene we are featuring today, our Pacific Islander for this scene, is Lolohea Pulu, or as my wife knows her, Hea Pulu of Vovo Lashes. Hea Pulu of Vovo Lashes. This is a Pacific Islander-owned, self-made business.
That's
I can't stress that enough. That's so empowering to see our people doing that. You know, especially with the pandemic going on, this is the greatest time to sow seeds into yourself and invest in your own time and energy to push something you believe in.
Yeah.
So shout out to you, Hea.
Shout out to Hea.
And this is her profile we're gonna share with you guys. Before I do, is there anything you'd like to share?
Yes. Shout out to Hea. Hea is a family of mine. Our grandparents are grandpas are brothers.
Yes.
So I wanted to highlight that because, you know, she's
hard younger. Hardworking family. Yeah, Shout out to mom and dad, man. Yeah. I love them.
It's just a little things that I want to say about her. But Hea's younger than me. It basically kind of spoke like loud to me that I saw that she had her own business going on, because it's things like that with this whole pandemic happening. Sometimes we reveal things in ourselves that we don't even know about, you know, starting your own business and bringing it out to light. And especially knowing in our Pacific Island community, not a lot of us, you know, think about starting your own business. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's always about we're good for sport and that's it. No, we're good for everything. So
anything
shout out
in your heart.
In your heart. Shout out to my sister here out there. You know, keep going, sis. I've been excited. It's so funny. I've been sharing it with my husband. I can't wait for this episode because I wanted to. I was just so excited. So keep pushing, man.
Hair is from East Palo Alto, California. Shout out to EPA. Hair is a Tongan woman in the Western world trying to keep intact our Tongan roots, mm-hmm. but more importantly, is a firm believer in yes. Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Amen to that. You know, it just so underrated. Most people can forget being on a big platform to highlight that.
Yeah.
You know, so thank you for representing the hair. Hair is a business-wise, oceanic person pushing beauty from all cultures, but more importantly, always reminding our women in our community to represent where we come from. No matter where you're from.
Mm-hmm.
It can be Samoa, it can be Tonga, it can be New Zealand, it can be Hawaii,
Fiji.
It can be Fiji, it can be the Solomon Islands, yeah. wherever you come from. I think this is important, Hair, that what you're pushing is very beautiful in your business.
Mm-hmm.
So moving forward. Bobo Lashes is a cosmetic store that will be launching next month. She will be selling lash strips and eventually add into the inventory with more cosmetic products. You know, right now, I think what's important right now in highlighting her profile right here, this is such a beautiful thing, is she took this time and opportunity during the pandemic to shine a light in our community by, you know, sharing our tongue and language in the products that she's yes. pushing, right? Would you like to share some
It was so interesting that what caught me in her not because of her, she's my family, but the fact that she named her product, like the lashes,
yeah.
it's so powerful. It's like,
you. What is Vovo?
Vovo, in my address. Yeah, it's short for like pretty. Like,
you well, know. What's the Tongan word?
Like, Vovo.
So, but Talabo
is, yeah, Talabo. To, yeah. But for her to put that out and then name her products in different lashes, man, that's great. That's just...
Yeah, I think that's a beautiful way yep. to share our culture out there with the world by, you know, originating the products in Tongan names. I mean, there's right. no better way to do right. that by, hey, can I get that Bobo lash?
And, you know, yeah, next thing yeah. you know,
we got the whole community yeah. sharing our culture. So that's pretty cool to see and highlight. She definitely sees this as a passion. She's had many jobs in the past, and all those jobs didn't give her the heart and mm-hmm. fire that she has for this kind of business. And I think what's important about that is because this is her journeying into what she can do with this,
yeah.
right? Because she has the vision to not only push this business, but to see how far it goes based on how determined she is.
That's right. It's
such a beautiful thing, man. She definitely has a little family that she wants to support and take care of. And this is definitely to help support that, is to take care of her family by pushing yes. this business. And thank you for sharing that and highlighting that, Hale. We spoke about this before with, you know, Nuu and his wife. And like yep. how it's
how
important
couple,
for our young people and young yes. generations to dive into those things.
Shout out to your son, by the way.
Yeah, shout out to your son.
and your husband.
She thanks God for just this time that she's taking to open her business and really pushing and marketing and promoting her own business. You know, like we said, she's definitely selling lashes and more products to come along the way. She encourages our listeners, viewers, and followers to take this time to jump in and go all the way. You know, don't have no doubt, mm-hmm. pray about it, and really believe in yourself.
Yeah. Yes.
And she believes that God is favored in her business, and we believe in that.
Yes.
We speak that into you, sis.
Speak that.
This is her purpose in this career choice is to be an example to our people that they can do anything they put their mind to. She wants someone that she comes across in this business to wonder, how is this business succeeding? Vovo Lashes. I think that's really profound. It's a beautiful way to look at it.
Yeah.
So, man, I can't get over how mind-blowing this really is. Her dream is to give a comfortable life to her son and her loved ones. And the struggle is real nowadays, but she believes she can do it, and she wants to take those burdens off her loved ones. It's such mm-hmm. a beautiful, man. It's a beautiful meaning. She wants people to remember that she cared and wanted to take care of her customers, but more importantly, that she had God in her heart while she was doing this, walking in her confidence and assurance. Beautiful, beautiful. And that is Hea Pulu of Vovo Lashes. I mean, that's a beautiful profile.
It's a beautiful check profile. Her out, man.
Check her out. So that was Hea. Once again, we're going to have her links and plugs all up here. You'll see that. So, once again, Lolo Hea, Bulu, Vovo Lashes,
shout out to you, Sis.
Thank you so much for allowing us to take the time to interview you and share your business. We pray more success into your life and things to come. God bless. At this point in time, we'd like to dive into our prayer point. We can't do anything or move anything in our life if we can't take the time to pray and give thanks. So with that being said, from me and my wife to you guys, we have you guys in our thoughts and our prayers. Start now.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
God bless y'all.
God bless you guys. With that being said, here's one for the haters. We'll come right back and start the discussion. Other than that, wow. Love you. What's up, guys? We're back, jumping right into the discussion. Our seven subjects for today. 1, Henrietta Lacks. 2, generation work. 3, the Tongan months. 4, Joseph Gregory Hallett. 5, Samu Durikfanga. 6, Doctrine of Discovery, 1493. 7, how to research. What would you like to choose, my love?
Let's go with how to research.
Okay, so how to research.
What do you choose? We'll leave that to the end.
Okay, that's fine by me.
So you just choose whichever. One that we can just get it out of the way, you know?
Yeah.
And then spend time on what's...
So, generation work. Why I wanted to highlight this. So, I was working just... last fall and before the pandemic had hit, security at a high school out here in Las Vegas. And it was crazy to me that I was working with a grandpa, a dad, and a son, all in the same line of work. And what was crazy to me was like, the grandpa was happy to have done that work and expects to finish and retire doing that work. The dad was more or less, you know, like, this is not long-term. He wants to kind of change his career path after this. And then the son was like, had nothing to do. It was just like, whatever, it's a job. And why that stuck out to me was like, I'm now in a generation where a grandfather, a father, and a son are working. And why that stuck out was like, you know, I would speak to the son often, you know, the day on.
Random
days and stuff when passing. And he would just tell me, he doesn't want to do this, but he did it because his father got him in. And then I would talk to the dad in times in passing, and he'd just be like, you know, I did this because, you know, when my dad moved out here, it was one of the first jobs I got. It was a good paying job, good benefits, but, you know, it wasn't really my passion. And when I talked to the grandpa, he loves kids, he loves working hard, and, you know, he's just one of those old blue-collar guys. And why that was, like, so crazy to me to think like that was, like, they don't all share the same perspective on the job.
Not even the same passion.
Well, yeah. And it's like, if I put myself in their shoes, I am the son, I am the father, and I can be the grandfather. And to lack the passion to be in something that you don't see yourself in long term, it's like, why are you doing it in the first place?
That's right.
Because then if you do have the passion, you're the grandfather. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have the passion, you can be the kid.
Yeah.
And if you see yourself doing something else, you're the father.
Yeah.
And it's like, I can't believe I'm witnessing this because all three can be one person. But what I'm basically trying to get at is that if you were one of those people, who would you see yourself being and why? Especially in the line of jobs that you've had,
right,
you know, versus what your passion truly is. How do you feel about that?
I think
like generation work, like you're working with your previous and next generation.
I think, for me, like, just brought that up, man. That's a great subject to.
Yeah, you met the grandpa. He's always outside whenever you'd come drop off lunch.
The reason why this is something really, really powerful, because I see myself as the grandpa. Damn. And the reason why I say that is because
agree that, and I know you that well.
No, growing up in Tonga, like a part of my background, you know, you don't have much option
to look forward to.
You know what I mean? So if you grow up and your grandpa was just a church keeper or a church,
connection.
Yeah, like just that all his life, they take that very bad, like they're passionate. Yeah. They're there in the morning, yes. They're there in the afternoon, they're there in at lunch, and they're keeping it clean, but you see them how passionate. You're pretty much gonna make the next person do that, because really there's not much out there. Now, we're out here in America, because I was raised out there, I came with the same passion, right? So I go in and I found a job that it was hard for me to get. Mm-hmm. And why I'm speaking as a grandpa. The grandpa found the job, easy to bring his family on, yes. Easy to bring. Hey, and so when it comes to the grandson, he didn't work hard for it. So basically, it's just a job.
It's easier to dismiss it because
exactly.
It's not something for me. But hey, what else do you
have?
Yeah,
know, exactly. Know? So to him, it's like, if I don't like this, I'm just going to go and get another job. But see, for the grandpa, why it's very important to him is that we don't know what his background was like. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Oh, and he was working his butt off to get that position. Just like you. If you were like what you're coaching, right? Passionate about it. Your son get like scholarship to just get in because of the connection with you. He's not going to take the same passion that you have for kids. You know what I mean?
I totally agree. I mean, the way I look at it is because I recognize each position with each person, right? The son, the dad, and the grandfather. Yep. The son is looking at it as like, I didn't ask to do this, but I do appreciate the fact that you did do it. It's just, this is not what I'm going to do for the rest of my life.
Yep.
The dad is looking at it, I'm already invested a few years here.
Yep.
And if I'm able to have an opportunity to leave and find something better, I'm going to.
Yep.
And then the grandpa's just like, you know, I'm satisfied. I worked my butt off. I put in a lot of years and invested a lot of time.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's just, I brought you guys on because I was able to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's crazy to think that happens. That a father, a grandfather, and a son can work together. It's, you know, it's the same as if it was a grandmother and a mother and a daughter. But when I saw this, I just thought, man, like, wow, like, how would I feel about that if I had that opportunity?
Which why it's so hard for our community to let go of things, because they came out here from Tonga and just stuck on something. You don't have to work like that. Yeah. You don't have to slave yourself.
That was
yourself.
Our parents. You don't have to take
so
that path.
I think that's...
Not that we're not grateful.
Yeah, we're not grateful. I mean, it's not that we're not grateful, because we are, but I think that's why there's a mind, like a closed mind in our community, because they come and find a job and not know there's other opportunity. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
And I'm good with it.
I'm definitely good with that. Thank you for your insight. I forget that sometimes, man, when you work and it's not even you have a passion
for
it.
Thank you for...
You work at it because you know you're good at it.
Yep.
So, my wife is just a hard worker. And if I don't highlight that enough, man, I'm not doing a good job of telling my wife's story. Anyways, moving forward, that was generation work. The next thing I want to talk about is Joseph Gregory Hallett. Joseph Gregory Hallett. And I'm going to share this name with you, and you're going to do your research on him. But Joseph Gregory Hallett, in the community of theorists or conspiracists, believe that he is the new king of England. Joseph Gregory Hallett. He claims to not only be the next king, or he's actually the new king currently of England, but that the whole world doesn't know about this, mm-hmm. how he actually came into the throne. And you should definitely look up the documentary on YouTube, Joseph Gregory Hallett. There's two parts to it. But this guy claims to be the king of England. And why I recognize that and relate myself to that, the Tongan monarchy, I don't know too well, but I know there's got to be some dramas at times where lineages and bloodlines come into attack, where it's like, hey, we're the next to the throne. I'm not saying I know that personally, but my wife could elaborate on that. And it interests me because I don't know too much about the monarchy system, but I do know this. When somebody comes into power, you have to do the checklist and their background check immediately. But Joseph Gregory Hallett claims to be the next king. He is the new king of England. How do you feel about that?
Man, when you show me the documentary that you showed me?
New King of England.
It almost kind of reminded me, like, there was a time with our... I speak about Tonga because there's no other island. No, not even just that. No of Tonga, but there's no other island that I can speak on that has a king or queen. Like, that's...
Monarchy.
Yeah. So
Monarachi.
Monarachi. So was that your cousin?
That's no, shut up. Just move on, dude.
No, but I'm gonna just speak up on it because I'm not gonna. I don't know too much, but I'll speak up on what it is. Is that, you know, they keep their blood within. It doesn't go anywhere else. So they marry within.
Too many opportunities.
Yeah, not even just that, but it in their mind, it's almost kind of like the blood is going to flood through everybody. Everybody's going to be, you know what I mean? It's not going to have like
I'm a king too.
They'll lose their what you call it? Their kingdom pretty much, you know, because now everybody's related to who else. Yeah. Which, you know, people claim to be related to them, but they keep it so tight within their blood,
their family,
so that way there's not too much into what's going on in it. And I do know that there's drama because I remember there was a time, the King Tonga, when he passed away, to remember they passed it down to the brother, and then some drama happened, and then they passed it down to the other brother. But what's his name?
Joseph. Gregory,
yeah, Joseph. Howard. In my opinion, he wouldn't be wasting his time doing all that.
Yeah.
He's already proved so many things that he's a part of that family. Yeah. He is that family. Then doing research about all these other people that die along the way within his family, it makes sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So.
So I believe how it works is Joseph Gregory Hallett comes off of a Moroccan king who was married to one of the queens, or I want to say it was Queen Victoria. And that's who he comes off in that lineage.
Yeah.
And why it was so important to highlight this is because if he turns out to be the new king of England, relations with Tonga and every other country and superpower, things are going to change drastically. But mark my words now, if it comes out that he's the new king, we said it here and I'll set in the podcast, the world is definitely going to change drastically. So I thought it was important to highlight that because not a lot of people are aware of what's going on in the world because of the pandemic, and you know what they're covering in the media really isn't important to be covering in the media, but the things that should be covered aren't
being covered.
So many
things are being exposed now too. Yeah. So
do your own research on
yes.
that. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I'm good.
So Joseph Gregory Hallett, go ahead and check that out. Moving forward, so what would you like to pick next? I'll tell you the shortest one you want to pick is Doctrine of Discovery.
Oh yeah, then do that.
So the Doctrine of Discovery, 1493, you know, this is short, but basically Pope Alexander back in the 1400s had declared that any Catholic or, you know, person that practices Catholicism who discovered land inhabited by indigenous alike, that land belongs to the Catholic Church now. So that's why a lot of exploration at that time from the 1400s and up, people were just getting their land stolen and taken from them because this Pope Alexander had declared that Doctrine of Discovery 1493, which was a document stating that they would go to these lands and read that we hereby now take and inhabit your land. And why that sucks so much, it happened to a lot of the South Pacific Islands, it happened to the Americas, it happened to indigenous lands of Scandinavia and Europe alike, even the Austronesian Islands. I mean, it's sad, but you know, I had to highlight that because it's still happening today, especially in Papua New Guinea, man. Like, to take something that
doesn't
belong to us, this land, we have to take care of it. So for that to still be happening, but nobody talks about or teaches this kind of stuff in high schools, it makes me wonder what the hell's really going on in the world. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that's why I'm so proud to be Tongan. I'm not knocking all these other islands or anything like that. Is that we say no when there's like a, if they're asking to do business with us as far as
the
United States or whoever else, you know, to help to upgrade it, things in the island, they always shut it off, like they shut it down. And why I say that, it is important to talk about it because the kids are now growing up and just think that that's okay, that other people are coming and take on land, you know, because we work hard for that. Our past work hard for that. Our great-great
ancestors,
whoever else, work hard for that. And now we're just like, we're not trying to fight over it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think that you brought that up like really good, babe, because like it brought awareness to people, you know what I mean? To really look into those things.
And the doctrine actually still exists. They have it in a museum in
that's
the Vatican.
Crazy.
So, I mean, just be aware of these things because that's how history starts, man. It's written by the victors. And sadly enough as it is, those lands now belong to the elite.
Yeah.
So that being said, I'm good with that.
I am great with that.
So we're gonna go ahead and take a break, and when we come back, we will continue the discussion. So go ahead and get some eat and drink. Thank you. Hey guys, welcome back. We're here continuing the discussion. We have Henrietta Lacks, we have Tongan Months, we have Samyu Turikfanga, and how to research. What would you like to talk about?
Let's talk about the Tongan Month or?
The Tongan Months.
Okay, yeah.
So this is crazy and this blew my mind, but I always had a feeling about our time zone difference, right? Of Tonga, the Kingdom of Tonga on the South Pacific Islands. How we interpret time in days and months and years and weeks, right? But I just recently discovered, I'm still doing research on it. I don't know how true this actually is, but we actually have 13 months in the Tongan calendar, right? That's crazy. So that means our year is actually extended,
yep.
I believe it's extended. But we have 13 months in the Tongan calendar. And why we just now started going to the Gregorian calendar was because of the churches. Coincidentally, here we are talking about that
the
again.
Church.
But my wife had actually told me this early in our relationship that the months here in America were different from the months back home in Tonga. She didn't have too much of the details shared with me at the time because I myself, I'm not very fluent in Tongan. And my wife, she explains things way better in Tongan. And this is no knock to her, towards her and her English speaking. But she's actually very, very smart in her knowledge of Tongan history. But 13 months in the Tongan calendar. Still doing the research on it, but that's amazing to me. Would you like to share, speak on that?
Yeah, so I remember when I was back home, I remember there was a time that they had sent out, like, this is just a very brief, I don't want to talk too much about it because I don't really know it for sure, but I remember as a young girl, I remember they used to send the, they call the Tohi Mahina, which is...
What is that?
That's what it's called, the month, the calendar.
Wow. Oh, Mahina, sorry, I just thought about it.
So I remember they would send it, and then they would send one that had 13. And I'm so mad because I no one really can have it as a research on saying about it. But even when we write our dates, our month, here in America, we write it as whether if it's August 12th, and then the year, we would write the date first, then the month.
Oh, the format.
Yeah, the format of it.
Here is the month, the day, the year.
Yeah, it out there. And I used to get in trouble for that when I was here. Not in trouble, but they would like tell me like, hey, you better switch the format of your date. Like, because I would still have the
She was
mic.
Still accustomed to the Tongan calendar.
So I remember being 13 month at one point where they... Because they sent out those Tohi Mahina. I don't know about now, but we're talking about like 10 years ago, like or more. I remember it clear when there was 13 months in the calendar. Like, and you know, like, I can't really talk much about it. I will do more research on it, ask about it more, but I know I'm not crazy. I remember as a little girl, I was probably like 7, 8, 9, or 10, or whatever, like, you know. But I remember it being 13 months.
Yeah. So I'm still looking more into it, but how that caught my attention, I was on TikTok, and yes, we are on TikTok. I'll have that somewhere linked here, her TikTok, my TikTok.
Yeah.
But, and there was this Tongan dude, and he was talking about growing up in Tonga and how he had to adjust when he had moved to Hawaii, how they did school in Hawaii. And I believe he was like 8, and then he went to Hawaii when he was 9, but how he was still sleeping to Tongan schedule. Of course, you know, whether that was jet lag or just the timing, but he knew this song he would sing about the months, and he would sing the song, and then, you know, people would tell him, like, 13 months, what do you mean? And the reason why he was speaking on that in the TikTok was that in Tonga itself, it's no longer practiced. There's no more 13 months, but there's still people who remember that there were 13 months, and why that's being erased or almost kind of taken out of the education or the curriculum in Tonga is like, why? Why are we losing that in the first place? You know, was it wrong?
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe it was wrong because not only do I believe our people are natural philosophers, navigators astronomers and stuff like that. But there was a, I believe there was a reason why we had 13 yeah. months. I don't believe that we should lose that part of our history. But if I'm wrong, you go ahead and correct me and tell me myself.
Yeah.
Tell me yourself and explain what I'm missing, the parts. But to have that removed, it hurts me deeply because we're already losing a lot here as first generation born Tongans in America. And I want all that knowledge, not because for benefit, but because I want to share that with the generations to come. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
It's true. I mean, like I said, you know, I was raised in Tonga half of my life, and I to this day still think that there's things out here in America that's all messed up. You know yeah. what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because I feel like over the years, if we're not careful back home, we're gonna lose a lot of things, and you know, history and things like that. But it's so powerful when we find things out that is actually yeah. a part of mm-hmm. our history, like being that there's 13 months. So
yeah, no, I totally agree with you. You know, sometimes I know you get really passionate, especially when people speak on our Tongan culture and our Tongan customs and education. But the one thing I notice you get more passionate than anything about that when people speak on and they're uneducated about is when they talk about the current state of Tonga.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on with Tonga now can contribute to, see, Tonga's been doing this, that's why it's happening to them now. And it's like, dude, that's been happening there in Tonga. What the hell are you talking about? And basically what I'm trying to say is to lose that part of our culture that we had 13 months, I would just like to understand and know why that was a thing before they remove it entirely.
So the one thing that I had an idea, because my uncle, my mom's brother, mm-hmm. was working for the farm.
Yeah.
And what I believe, I myself believe this, is that there was a reason why they made it 13 months. Tonga is a big, it's almost like a country, like, not country, like a farm.
Farming lands. Okay.
So my uncle was like in the.
Oh, is that what has to do with the 13?
Yeah.
That's
what I'm saying. It could have to do with that. Now, don't quote me on it.
It's
but
a theory.
What I'm saying is that, well, it's not a theory. It's not so much too, but I feel like that's what they're doing. Because I remember my uncle saying that they were doing the 13 months because of the planting, of what they're planting in Tonga. Because
yeah,
it was one of... Do you see what I'm
it's
saying?
It's better to plant in the spring
in
than
certain,
in
yeah.
the winter.
Because I'll be honest, our spring and our winter and our fall and our summer is not the same as
yeah.
it is out
oh,
here.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean? But I feel like that's a part of it, because I remember my uncle working for the farm. He was a big part of it. And they would do it for the certain amount, a certain time of the month, you know what I mean? So, and I'm
thank you for sharing that. I'm good with that.
Yeah, I'm good with
that. So yeah, definitely reach out to us and correct us if we're missing something. But
yeah.
13 months in the Tongan calendar.
Yep.
So that was the Tongan months. I would like to speak on Henrietta Lacks. Mm-hmm. And Henrietta Lacks was a black woman here in America, I believe in the early 1800s, I want to say. If I'm wrong, please correct me on that. But I watched this movie recently on Netflix, which you should definitely check out, Project Power. And they had mentioned Henrietta Lacks. I didn't believe it, but I looked it up and did the research. I'm like, oh my God, this was a real woman. She died of cancer. And unlawfully, the doctors who ran the studies on her had noticed her cells her cells were able to combat cancer. If I'm not right, please correct me on that. But and they called them the HeLa cells because of her name, Henrietta, the first two letters, and Lacks, L-A. They honored her memory by naming the cells they discovered in her body, but basically had figured that her cells are immortal. They actually kept producing even with the cancer, and that's how they actually came by way of studying and researching how to fight cancer. Those cells actually still exist today in 2020. Her cells are actually still alive, the HeLa cells of Henrietta Lacks. And why that's important to highlight, me and my wife have talked about this since season one and even earlier this season about the medical industry and what they hold away from us, right? Because they got to make their money. The medical industry is a big industry worldwide. And how are they supposed to make their money if people aren't sick and being taken care of? So things have to come about to where they get sick. The thing that kills me is like with her, Henrietta Lacks, a black woman, and her cells still being used today, you're telling me you can't cure cancer yet? That's weird. You can cure all these other sicknesses with our cells, but you can't cure cancer yet. It's almost like we need people to have cancer so we can be in business as a medical mindset, right? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, we've talked about this in season one, how the medical field is just, it's a bunch of crap. You know, for me.
So well, you were
take,
in it.
Yeah, so don't take that as me like trying to say I know it all any of that. And I relate this to Tonga because in Tonga we have a lot of
practices
natural
and remedies.
And remedies and things like that. So you say that they found a cure for cancer. Do you know what's going to happen to the whole medical field?
Yeah.
It's they're losing money.
They're gonna lose business.
So of course, I'm not surprised that they still act like they haven't found anything because they want to do things like such as dialysis and all that stuff because they keep having people to stay in the loop. They don't want people to, you know what I mean?
Being insensitive.
No,
we're just saying that this is happening.
You got to do your
research.
And the thing about that is that when they start speaking that thing in your mind, this is what your mind is doing.
The mind will,
I have cancer. Not that I'm insensitive about it. It's really like a real thing.
I mean, so Henrietta Lacks didn't give consent for them to use her cells. And obviously they still kept using it. They sent samples all over the world and other doctors and scientists were doing more research on her cells and had come to discover that her cells were actually able to cure a lot of sicknesses and diseases.
That's crazy.
You know, because she died of cancer, the one thing you couldn't cure was cancer, but her cells are still alive today. If I found out that was my ancestor, how hurt I would be, not because of the compensation. I don't need the money.
Yeah.
But because you did that without her knowing.
Consent, yeah.
It hurts. You know what I'm saying? Because that goes to show you that there are things our other peoples and cultures and wherever we come from in the world are practicing that you guys can't seem to figure out, but you'll make money off of them because it makes you guys rich and prestigious. So
that's crazy.
It is crazy, man. It really is. Like, shout out to the Lacks family. You know, we don't speak on this subject to you know, bring a bad light on her. We speak on it because we need people
bring
to know
awareness.
That this is real. This exists. The information is out there, and we have to do our research. They're not teaching this in school. Not in high school, for sure. So, Henrietta Lacks, man, that could have been any one of us.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I'm good.
I'm good, too.
I'm getting hyped up.
Yeah. So we're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we will continue the discussion. But yeah, man, do your research. We can't emphasize that enough, man. You got to do your research.
Yeah, because you're a stump along something you may not need now, but you'll need later.
Yeah.
Or you might need now and then learn from it. You know what I mean? Like, it's really good. It's very important that you do your research because you just never know.
And it's also good to have these open conversations because you never know. You might be talking to your kids. You might be talking to your
parents
and no one's aware of it. And next you know, you teach them something new, man.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Once again, go get something to eat and drink. When we come back, we will continue the discussion. Owl 7, the podcast, The Savages. We're here. Episode 7. Whoo, I love you. Okay, guys, we're back. Ending fourth quarter with our last two subjects. Samiu Turikfanga and how to research. What would you like to choose, babe?
Samiu Turikfanga. We can go with how to research and we'll end it with Samiu.
So, it's important that we know how to research, right? And I'm not saying to go to school and learn it because, of course, that's how we all came about it as far as being adults. What I'm saying here is to do your own research and how to come about doing that. Is there a format? Is there a step? Is there an ABC way to do it? No. What you do is if you have an interest or a thought about something, you know, obviously you have Google so you can access your phone and type in the search you're looking for, but also go to libraries and go into further detail of what you're looking for so that you have a better round of knowledge on the subjects you're speaking about. And why this is important to highlight is my people, the Tongan people, and how we came about researching before we actually reached the Americas in libraries. We had orators, and basically the orators were our grandparents, our elders in the village who would pass down the knowledge and the history of our people via verbal. So they would share this oral history with us, and passed that down. And this grandpa shared it with this father, who shared it with this son, now shares it with this. You know, that's what I'm basically saying. And why this is important is because that still applies today. We can still pass history down that way. But sadly enough, as it is, I believe this is how our history has changed. Specifically for us, our Tongan people, was we eliminated that and started writing stuff down now. But basically what I'm saying is that discredits all the stuff we've passed down verbally and oral to our next generation. I remember old stories my grandpa and grandma used to tell me and my siblings that even they don't remember. So how do you feel about that?
Yeah. Research, like we've been saying throughout our whole season one down to season two, that research is a very important thing to do. I never knew how important research was until I met my husband. You know, because I was just like, meh, like, well, somebody's going to find out, like, you know. But when you do your own research and when you speak about it, you can tell that that person is doing a research because of how passionate they are when they're telling things, you know. And the biggest person and the one person that I know for sure who knows and do research is my husband. And why I say that is because he's never talked about anything that doesn't has like a support or a touch up on it or things like that, because these things are real, you know. I remember just being in Tonga, you know, they really don't talk about doing research because we have limited access to internet. Access, you know,
or just a chain of information.
Yeah. And the thing is like, why word of mouth was just so powerful out there, because they would pass it, you know, and things like that. They wouldn't get into like law and all that stuff because, like I said, even we know how adoption, we do it like within family. They never get to go through like paperwork and all that stuff because word of mouth was just important out there. You know what I mean? So when someone passes to another person, they believe you. And I think that's the thing that's so cool about our community, is that when one person say it with their mouth, we believe that person. There's no like, oh, we need a paper to prove that this and this and that. And so why research is very important, guys, is that you have facts of what you're talking about.
I don't want to get emotional, but like I miss my grandma a lot. And she would share songs to us that were centuries old. Just beautiful songs, beautiful hymns before the churches came. These are songs that have outlasted generations from like our greatest ancestors. And like, I still remember the rhythm and the melodies in my head. My wife sings them all the time. But the crazy thing is, she didn't learn it from a book. You know, she learned it the way her grandma would sing to her and when she would braid her hair. Like, things that are crazy to me, right? Like, even Tonga, like right now, everybody knows Tonga as a country, but they don't actually know the name of Tonga. Mm-hmm. I just recently learned that it's Koe Puleanga or Tonga. It's actually the name of the country. That was what the name that was given by the king of Tonga, that he named our land. The Hamonga is in Niutoa. Sorry. I apologize. Old names like Fuatonga, Ahoaloi, Matalave. What's this one?
Fuatonga.
Sorry, I apologize for butchering.
Ahoaloi, Matalave, Makahokovalu, Powono.
And that's crazy. These are original Tongan names. Not influenced by, you know, European or Spanish like influences.
Like
these
Sione.
Are our names that we passed on. You know what I'm saying? And you know, yeah, I'm not joking about it, but it's like that was passed down through the spirit of our speaking. And now it's starting to kind of die off, and it kills me because it's a dying art, you know? My mom still sings those old hymns. Shout out to my mom. I know her mom would sing those hymns to my kids. And like, even those songs alone, that's history that was passed down. These are songs that are depicting when the first settlers came to Vava'u or Hapai, or when the king had laid eyes upon the first Langi. Like, these are songs that describe those pieces of history. And now that we're writing stuff down, it's like we don't want to lose that. You know, we were just talking about with the whole thing about what were we talking about earlier about as far as shoot, please don't lose the thought. Not generation work.
Just earlier? What were you talking about?
Yeah.
We were just talking about the...
Not just losing. Like, we were talking about... It's been a theme for this whole episode, but paving the way.
Yeah.
It's just not losing... Oh, the Tongan months.
Yeah.
We don't want to lose even that, the Tongan calendar. Yeah. What was the purpose of having that? And we'll never know if we lose it now.
Yeah.
So...
And that's why I say it's so powerful when I came here and everything is... Everything has to be shown, like paper this, stamp, all that. They need all that. Why we're saying yes, do your research so you know facts. You know, sadly, I'm not saying it's sad, but I believe it's so powerful because Tongan people are very trustworthy people. So when we say something to others, it stick with it. You know, it's not like, oh, can I see paperwork? Oh, can I see people? Who wrote that song? You know, it carry on as the generation goes. And I still do it with my kids. Like, you know, the braiding, like you said earlier, I would get my hair braided every day. And, you know, I do it with my kids even to this day. So
I love when you sing those old hymns. If I don't tell you enough, it makes me emotional because it reminds me of my grandma.
It's crazy. Every time you listen to a Tonga YouTube song, what do I do? I always know the words.
Yeah, you always know the words.
Yeah, it's crazy because
that's our history.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was orally passed down, and I don't want to lose that. So yeah. I hope this speaks to you guys, our Tongan people, and it's just even any people. Don't lose it. Please do not lose it. Moving forward.
I'm good with it.
Samyu Turikfanga. Samyu Turikfanga is a Tongan man who's from the Bay Area. A few years back, and we're not highlighting this to show how good people we are.
And I wouldn't be surprised if many of y'all know who he is.
Yeah, if you know who Samyu is, hey, reach out to him and tell him that Henry and Lethe misses him and we love him and we never forgot about him. But, you know, I envision him as my uncle or my brother or, you know, my dad. When we first came across Samyu, he was stranded out here in Vegas for a couple months. He had been in the hospital of dehydration. He was wandering the streets. He was basically homeless. And we were at a mall out here in Vegas. And I was walking through the stores. And I heard this guy yelling at me. And he started speaking. And it sounded familiar. And he's speaking Tongan. And he's asking me, am I Tongan? And I'm like, yeah. And I went and grabbed my wife because I knew my Tongan was broken. And she was talking to me. And we found out that he had been stranded out here because there was a woman that he came out here with. You know, we're not putting his business out there, but the thing was, he had been stranded and he wanted to go home. He was malnourished. He was definitely skinny. I mean, he was sickly. And I'm not saying all this to paint a bad picture on him. It was just that I didn't hesitate. My wife didn't hesitate. It wasn't even about being Christian. It was about knowing that the goodness in our heart, and not even just being Tongan, but we saw somebody that we identified with being anybody in our family, and we immediately jumped into action and helped him and got him home back to the Bay by getting him a Greyhound ticket. But why I highlight this is, you know, there's this thing in our culture, in the Tongan culture, that we call Loto Ma Fana. And it's like mana, I can't really explain it, but when you have that, I mean, people will recognize it in the Tongan community. And why I want to share this with you is that was the most proudest thing I've ever done in my life, was to help my fellow countrymen get back home. Because to think that there are people like that in the world that are lost and need help and might not ever get it, I hope that you, if you ever come across a situation like this, please reach out and help somebody. How do you feel about that?
I think that's what separated our community. Like, not saying we're better than other community. I can't see another Tongan homeless. It just hurt me. Like,
not that we're insensitive to anybody else, but
like, it almost kind of like, that's like a brother to me. Like, I don't think homeless is even like a word in our
there,
like,
is no Tongan word for homeless.
No,
they try
not
to make up slang, so, but there's no actual formal word.
Back home, you really don't need money to live. Like, honestly, now they do. Like, oh, can you guys send money?
Says because otherwise,
but. In Tonga, you don't really need money to live, because you live within the land. You plant your own food. You rain the water. You know, things that it's already given to. And why I'm so humble, it's like, it's almost kind of like humility. That's the word. Like, Loto Ma Fana is. Because I'm always,
whew,
like, teared up, like, when I think about those stories. Because at that time, we run into Samyu. Me and my husband, we were barely making it.
We
were like,
we had nothing.
We
to
had
give
nothing,
this guy,
you know. So I think that the beauty of it is that we knew we were okay together, You know, it's a couple. And I think what I don't want to get emotional is that Samuel, when I saw him, I saw one of my uncles, one of my brother, one of my cousin, or anybody, you know, because that's just how we are as Tongan or Pacific Islanders or whatever it is. But I can speak for being Tongan because that's how we were taught. That's how we were brought up. And we're just so grateful with the little things we have, you know. The day I saw Samuel, I knew, like, I had to help this guy.
Yeah.
There was no question in my mind, like, we have to send him home because he's been wandering around. And, you know, Vegas don't have a lot of Tongans out. So, and he only spoke Tongan. So then when we run into him years later,
We actually ran into Samuel, I think, the following year. We went to a Kulistutuku in EPA, and he comes in. He's a little bit thicker.
His
color in his skin. He definitely looks happy. He's with his family, and he recognizes me and my wife immediately. And he just comes and embraces us. And you know, we didn't do that for that. We did it because we didn't want him to feel lost and hurt that no family was there for him. But when we saw that, we knew that God, Jah the Almighty, was in that situation, man. And we say that to speak this. If you're in a position to help somebody, just like how we recognize this person needed help and we identified him with somebody in our family, if you're able to, don't hesitate. We pray peace and healing in you to do it. So, damn, man. Shout out to you, Samuel. If you ever see this, or if anybody knows Samuel, man, tell them we love him and thank you for coming into our lives. So.
Yeah. Not only that, but, you know, just words of encouragement to anybody out there, man. If you see, doesn't matter if they're Tongan, Samoan, just even like a bottle of water. Or
they whatever, don't even have to be Tongan for you to help them. If you have it in your heart and the situation calls for it, help, man.
You know, I had scammed through somebody's, I don't know who it was, but so she was basically saying, this person was basically said that she had saw a homeless guy asking for money the first day, and she gave this person a dollar. Then she came back the next day and she was seeing this same guy. The reason why I brought that up is because she walked past this guy and she's like, I gave you a dollar the day before. I'm not going to give you another dollar. What are you doing here? The one thing that she thought about is that when Jesus Christ was dying on the cross and we keep sinning every day, he doesn't ever ask us, like, why are you sinning again? Why are you sinning against? That's so powerful to me. It's like, it doesn't matter when you help or you know, give, like, help anybody, because it doesn't matter what they're going through, because you don't know what they're going through. It's the fact that you help them. And that just stick out to me with Samuel, because I knew when I read that, I was like, man, God is speaking to me. And I'm not trying to get religion with you all. It's just that with Samuel, I knew he was sent to us. You know, there was no way that we just ran into it. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, God ordained that. So.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Okay, man.
Ofadu, Samuel. But yeah, hey, that's another episode 7, Aisle 7 the podcast. Still looking for sponsors. Final feast. You got anything to say?
Just help somebody out there who's in need of help. And you know what? What you're doing now, it may not be important or make you feel like you got it going on, but just start it. You never know. Years from now, 10 years later, you know, you at least set something for your family, you know.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
And just from me to you guys, is just when all else fails, pray. Just pray, man. Just pray. These are hard times. I definitely understand that. But never lose hope in the spirit and just pray. So, love you guys. From me and my family to you. Above all else,
Jah bless.
Love you guys.